Credit card delinquencies are way up. Pre-foreclosures, 30-day mortgage rates, auto delinquencies, all of those things are in place, and they're increasing as rapidly as the scores are declining. So the average consumer is drowning. I don't care, like you just said, the GDP, the CPI, all these crazy numbers that can get fudged every which way Tuesday. The one thing I know, I've been doing this for over 20 years. The average consumer is starting to drown in debt.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. Hey, we made it through the eclipse. We only had a couple of minor earthquakes, one in New Jersey, more major one in, Japan, I guess. But we survived it. Let's see if we can survive the earthquakes that are rattling the credit markets. Our credit expert here, Paul Oster, is with us now. And you find him at betterqualified.com. Paul, great to have you back on. So we got things happening here. Credit scores for the first time in over a decade are falling. And that is an indicator, especially when you think of how much the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has inflated credit scores over the past decade. It's kind of like the GDP numbers. They can't keep it going, can they?
No, they cannot. And look, you're spot on with what you just said. This problem is worse than it actually even looks like, because scores have been so artificially inflated for the past decade that this is unfortunately just the tip of the iceberg. So some people, the other side of the coin, I have people say, Paul, what's a couple of points decline and you're running around like the sky is falling. But a couple of points is a big deal, because it's the first time that we've seen this. Whether it's a stagnation or a slight decline, it hasn't happened in over a decade. So unfortunately, what I think, again, we have some precursors out there. Credit card delinquencies are way up. Pre-foreclosures, 30-day mortgage rates, auto delinquencies, all of those things are in place, and they're increasing as rapidly as the scores are declining. So the average consumer is drowning. I don't care, like you just said, the GDP, the CPI, all these crazy numbers that can get fudged every which way Tuesday. The one thing I know, I've been doing this for over 20 years, the average consumer is starting to drown in debt. This is unlike other times in the past, because the phenomenon is that the psychological impact hasn't taken effect. So people are still running around like spending money. I mean, at the end of the year, the fourth quarter last year, it was four times what forecasters were thinking about. Four times the amount of debt that was amassed, credit. And look, this isn't good debt, right? If you take out a mortgage, that's good debt. If you have debt for durable goods and products, that's a good debt. This is revolving credit card debt. And that means people are putting their groceries on their credit cards. They're putting gas on their credit cards because they haven't changed their behavior. So there's only one way to go here. And I think it's, unfortunately, again, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I couldn't agree with you more, Paul. You know, you can do financial tricks. You can do stuff, only so much. And then the piper's got to be paid. But people, you know, and I know, are much more engaged in their credit scores now than they've ever been before. So they're already doing all the hacks that you possibly can do to raise your score, right? Spreading out the balances, lowering utilization ratios on particular cards, right? All of these things. And yet the scores go down.
So, right. And one thing I've touched base on repeatedly here, obviously, most recently, but all of these buy now, pay later programs, they are not a factor into people's credit scores. So there are literally millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in balances that are sitting on those accounts. And look, it's another one of those situations. It's painless to do it. Every online shopping site has those options. Some of them are even interest-free as long as you pay it back on time. So consumers say, okay, so I'm going to put this $300 purchase on this buy now, pay later program. It's interest-free. It's only four payments of whatever. But then they put the other $300 on their actual credit card. So there's all sorts of things here, like you just said, that are kind of waiting in the wings, or they're behind the smoke and mirrors, that when that shoe starts to drop, the scores are going to come down even further.
Hey, well, I saw a story recently. They were like opening up. They were desperate for business. They had the buy now, pay never plan, Paul.
Yeah, and you can go to right? We used to have Dollar Generals. They're not Dollar Generals anymore. They're now $5, $7 Generals.
They're going out of business. The 99-cent stores couldn't make it anymore.
Can't do it.
They had to become the $5 store, right?
Yeah, yeah. So all of these things are just falling in line. And again, the average consumer has to realize that if they don't change their behavior, they continue to behave the same way that they have, even before the pandemic, during the pandemic, now post-pandemic. Look, the average cost for goods and services for an average household is about $600 more than a year or 2 years ago. So where's that extra? It's an extra $600 for the same exact stuff. Now, if you don't change your behavior, where's that extra $600 going to come from? A lot of people were close to the red line, you know, as it is. So an extra $600 a month, by the way, you know, that's real money. And that's a real financial hardship for people. And especially for the ones that don't change their behavior, that extra $600 is going on a credit card. But that's going to run out sooner than later. And it's already started. We can see that. That's where your 30-day lates, 60-day lates. And even if it doesn't run out, let's say if you had $5,000 on a credit card, and right now the average credit card interest rate is almost 20%, the average, which is up from, let's say, pre-pandemic, which is about 15%. So $5,000 on an average credit card for the average consumer, if you only paid the minimum, which this is what a lot of people do, if you're only paying a minimum, it's like 20 years.
It's completely insane.
Yeah, it's insane. It could take you 20 years to pay off $5,000. And listen, it's not $5,000. 20 years from now, that's going to be $10,000, $15,000 easily when you rack up the interest. So people need a plan. That, you know, the biggest mistake that we see, there is no financial planning. There's no household budget. People literally live paycheck to paycheck, because that's how they want to do it, right? There's a great book out there. It's called You're Broke Because You Want to Be, because people would rather just walk around thinking that at some point in time, everything somehow miraculously, this is all going to be okay and go away. Now, maybe under the current administration, you know, there might be some programs out there that are going to help. And look, all kidding aside, the student loan problem is a real problem. I don't think complete debt forgiveness is the way to go. There should be incentive-based programs. There should be work-based programs. All of those things could accomplish the same means. But to just completely forgive the debts, especially the younger generations, because this is not the path forward to homeownership, right?
No.
So one of the things I hear constantly is how all of these people should ultimately own their own home and they have to stop renting. That's not how you teach someone to own their own home.
So you give them a house, right?
Yeah, you know, right. What are we going to do? Tell the bank, oh, you can't foreclose on the house? Tell the bank you can't put it in a share?
That's going to happen. Paul, that will happen. If we have another housing bust, which looks inevitable because prices have gone up so high, we're not going to go through another foreclosure crisis. The government will not allow the banks to foreclose, and they'll bail them out. And because the model's in place here, it is. This is the way they'll do it. I'm telling you.
I see the writing on the wall myself, Kerry. And again, look, these are really unfortunate circumstances for us for the future generations that are going to, someone ultimately has to pay this bill, or we will be owned by a foreign entity in a foreign country, because they'll buy our debt for pennies on the dollar. It's not going to be worth anything. The dollar isn't going to be worth anything. Forget about cryptocurrency and all this other craziness, but our you know, GDP and what the country was built on, what's going to happen? At some point in time, the smoke and mirrors and the wizard isn't going to be able to just say, oh, that country needs $1 trillion. Let's give them $1 trillion. That country needs $1 billion. Let's give them $1 billion. You know, at a certain point in time, the well is going to run dry. I think the well is already dry. And we are just playing a game of smoke and mirrors.
I could not agree with you more, Paul. And, you know, so what do you do here? How do you handle this? You know, like, we're not talking people like you and I, where we've hopefully responsibly managed our finances and cut back when necessary, all of that. But what do you do? Like, how?
So you really
make it work?
Yeah, you got to make a conscious decision to be disciplined. And I know it's easier said than done, but if you don't take a step back and do something about it, and the first thing you have to do about it is think about it, right? Because what we've been taught of the societal influences, you know, there's tremendous amount of pressure out there from social media, from the media, every TikTok, every TV show, all of these societal pressures are weighing on the average consumer. Every financial transaction is based on emotion. If you buy that new car, the smell of the car, it's shiny and new, you know, going on vacation, they show you all the pictures. Look, people are going on vacations and they're in debt up to their eyeballs, and they're spending $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on cruises and vacations. That doesn't make any sense to me. So there's a psychological thing that has to happen sooner than later. The average person has to realize, and it's a reward system, right? So you're looking at something and your brain tells you, Paul, mathematically, this does not work, right?
The new car smells so good, Paul.
Then on the other side of your shoulder, you know, the bad Paul is saying, hey, man, you deserve it. You work hard. Your family deserves it. They're good kids. They're a good family. So there's this constant battle going on back and forth. But that's for the people who haven't just stepped back and said, wait a second, this is how much I can afford to spend every month. And you know what? Mm-hmm. It's a hard number to swallow, because that's reality. And you might only have $80. So if you go over that budget, that's not as bad as someone who has no idea what they can really afford and they're just spending money, you know, hand over fist. But putting that number out there that says, this is how much money I can spend recreationally, right? Or on any expense. So that means that maybe you don't go out to dinner twice a week, every week. But maybe it means you don't stop for drinks. Maybe it means you don't stop at the convenience store on your way to work, on your way home from work. Maybe it means before you go to the grocery store, right? And I'm sure a lot of your listeners and followers are guilty of this. There's no plan. There's not a list. There's not a budget that says,
I'm guilty.
I can spend $132, right? And then you put the list together, and you might have to take some stuff off the list. Or you're just walking down the aisles, and you're just picking stuff. Oh, this looks good. This looks good. That's not the way to do it. Groceries are a huge, huge expense for people, and they spend very little time in budgeting their own groceries. No, they don't shop their own pantry, right? So these are the people that are in trouble financially. They're spending money on their credit cards to buy their groceries, yet they have a pantry filled with canned goods and boxes, and they don't use those, but then they go out and buy new stuff. So shop your pantry first and make sure you compare, right? We're creatures of habit. So if you always go to the same store, you have no idea that a store 1 mile down the road might have the same products for better prices. We just did a big show on, I think it's Kroger in Florida.
Yeah.
And they stopped their delivery service.
Sir Kroger.
Yeah. So what people started to do, and rightfully so, was, okay, so if they're not going to deliver my groceries, where am I going to go now? And what they found in the survey was that people found cheaper options and alternatives. And go back to what I said about making the plan. So now if you know what your grocery list is, you can actually comparison shop. Maybe today I go to Kroger's because they have the best deals on these items, but tomorrow or the next time I go, I'm going to get these items at the other store. People have to start doing that, or they're going to wind up in an even worse position than they are right now. Again, cost of goods and services are way up. When you look at interest rates, when you look at insurance premiums, everybody's insurance premiums are way up. Where's that extra money coming? Through the roof. And that wasn't even calculated into that extra $600. So just insurance alone. So when was the last time you did an insurance protection audit? Those people, unfortunately, are either underinsured or overinsured. And most of them have no idea what they should be paying in a premium. So do an insurance protection audit. Does it take time? Yes. Is it fun? No. But yeah, you could literally save yourself hundreds of dollars a year, if not thousands, based upon new plans, new policies, new premiums. So this is a time where we have to take a look every single expense item. And no one does this, right? So these are my weekly, daily, weekly, monthly, and annual expenses. And where can I start to cut those expenses? I always mention a second gig. You might want to not do it for the rest of your life, but right now, to get out of debt, you should do it. Okay. Get a second gig until, and that may help you focus on your debt repayment. You know, you're tired of, you have to do the second job at night, on the weekends. I don't want to do it. Well, okay, great. Then accelerate your debt elimination.
That's your reward.
That's your reward.
For spending decisions.
Borrowing against a 401k. You know, look, these all come with some pros and cons. Always speak to a certified financial planner. But if you're drowning in credit card debt that's at 28, 30% interest, okay, it's very, very hard to move the needle. If you're only paying, here's the warning sign. If you're only paying the minimum payments on your credit cards, you need help. You need help right now. You got to speak to somebody. And sometimes I think, you know, you and I have talked about this. People that need financial planning the most think that they don't need it. What do I need a financial planner for? I live paycheck to paycheck. I'm barely making ends meet. Man, if you sat down with somebody and they were able to show you how you could save a couple of $100 a month, that's worth well more to you than it is to the millionaire. So these are the people that really have to reach out, raise your hand, swallow your pride. I'm in trouble. I need help.
Hey, and anybody out there can knock 10% off their monthly expenditures. I don't
like that.
Anyone. I mean, don't go to Starbucks. You know what? Look at your cable TV bill and get rid of all the extras. It's always the people who can afford it least that have the maximum plan for cable and for their wireless, their mobile phones. They've always got added on extras, you name it. Hey, you know, data, all these things. You need to look at everything. You know, insurance, it's an interesting thing because, you know, I live in Florida. We have the highest rate of uninsured motorists in the nation. And when you go get quotes online, they always quote it to you without uninsured motorist protection. But in Florida, that is the coverage that is probably the most important besides your liability. You got to get it. But maybe you up your deductible and you know what? Maybe you change cars because certain cars, like you're riding a Tesla, you pay double for car insurance on a Tesla. I can tell you from personal experience. So it's like a decision. So you have to look at every single thing. I'll just tell you one thing. I was in business. Business was failing. And I called up my partner. And I said, hey, Phil, if we don't cut $250K off of our expenses annually, in 6 months, we'll be out of business. So we went over, we printed out literally a list of every expense for the past 6 months. And we went, sorted them from high to low, went out every single one. Hey, you know what? We actually figured out how to save $350,000. We laid off 3 employees. That was the hardest part, honestly. Yep. We redid our insurance. We basically, our building, what we were, our offices in New York that we were renting, were in foreclosure, so we stopped paying the rent. We didn't do that with, but we knew it would take them 6 months to get us out. They had security, and you know what? We moved to a new place, downscale, half the rental cost of our old place, and within 90 days, we were making higher profits than ever. We actually hired back those 3 people, and we were still saving $250 a year, and you know, we changed our accountants, changed our lawyers, all of this. So anybody can do it, and anybody should do it regularly to avoid being in that position in the first place.
And people, what you just pointed out, that scenario and example, and I've said this before, in today's world, our households are small businesses, right? 2, 3, 4, 5 people living under the same house, the amount of transactions that flow through those books are a lot. And again, when the times aren't so tough, we overlook the cable bill. We overlook all of these silly subscriptions, Netflix, Spotify, Hulu, Roblox, Xbox, PS4, whatever. Listen, I'm not saying that you have to eliminate them forever. I'm just saying if you're in debt, you can't pay your credit card bills, you're only making the minimum payments, then this is the time that you cut all of those things and you start there. And like you said, it's not a lifetime. Within a couple of months, you're going to say, okay, you know what? I can add back. We can have Netflix, so we can have movie night at home. And then I can add this back. So it'll come back to you. But if you don't do anything about it, sticking your head in the sand, you know, not making a choice is making a choice. So make the choice to get out of debt your priority. Start right now. The thing that I've heard over and over for the past 20 years, well, my only regret is that I didn't start this 6 months ago, a year ago. Because once you take the first step, it gets easier and easier. And now, you're never going to get out of debt as fast as you got into debt. But it will not take you that long to get out of debt. And people see it. It's the snowball effect, or the avalanche, however you want to do it. But it happens very quickly. And it's a tremendous positive psychological impact. People that you're still in the same amount of debt, but just knowing that now there's a little bit of money left over, you're not going any further into debt, is a huge, huge lift for most people.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Hey, Paul, tell us, where do we find you? How do we connect with you on the web?
So it's an easy, the consultation and analysis is always free. Just go to betterqualified.com. You can fill out a brief form. You can text us, you know, if you wanted to, and we'll get back to you and we'll put a plan together for you. Whether or not you execute it, whether or not you want to work with us, that'll be up to you. But at least you will walk away with a plan to get out of debt.
All right. So that's betterqualified.com. And the link is in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. When you're there, please sign up for your free newsletter. You get very useful information like this and lots more. And if you got a question for Paul, myself, email is kl@kerrylutz.com. And we'll answer your email quickly. Paul, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.